item I want to square up a little bit is quantity. There's been a bunch of numbers floating around, and they're all true, but I want to put them in context. We permitted the project for 33,000 cubic yards. And that number came from a desire to build a berth that would be capable of taking the product that we want to build anywhere in the world. And there is a few, not a lot, but there are 400 by 100 foot barges that will take gear to the Gulf of Mexico, which we've already used on other jobs, or we can cross oceans or do what we need to do to make this a viable business. When that barge is fully loaded to its capacity, it needs 16 feet of draft. So what we did to figure our berth is we went to mean low water, 16 foot of draft in addition, and a foot or two under keel clearance. It would also give us a little room for a little maintenance dredging over the time that we'd have to keep up with. That's what we permitted. We don't need that for our lead job. And what we don't want to do is go out there and build a berth, build a hole in the Penobscot River that's just going to fill in before we ever get a chance to use it. We have, Sean, you can straighten me out on this if I'm incorrect, but we have a 5-year requirement on our permit to complete our construction once we receive a permit. So our first job is about a year and a half to 2-year project. While that project is going on, we're already out working on what project will come in behind that, so that the people that work at this facility never leave it. They get there, and we just keep firing the work in one right after another. So if the next job needs some more capacity than what the first job, then we have that window of time to finish this operation. I will tell you candidly, I do not expect us to go back in there and add draft to this facility, because the faculty, most of you that are full people, to put 12,000 tons on a 400 by 100 foot barge, the density of iron that you have to stack up on that is almost impossible in the modular world. The modular world's got a lot of air in it, a lot of air between pipes and electrical and so on and so forth. And so we think that the draft required for this first project is very indicative of what we're going to need for a draft over the whole life of the facility. So with that said, we think that the real quantity that we're going to take offshore is about 15,000 yards, or about half of the total we're asking to have permitted right now. Out of that 15,000, about one-third of that, about 5,000 yards, is what we're asking to take offshore. And we've been working with the Corps since end of June, early July, Sean. And we've followed some testing protocols, provided them information, done borings, done lab work, analysis, and forwarded to them. And then they have a fellow in your Concord office that takes all of our results, runs it exhaustively through a variety of modeling scenarios, and then comes back with a verdict as to where that line is in our dredge spoils that can be taken offshore and that which can't be taken offshore. And we really just completed that here recently, and that's how we evolved down to the 5,000 yard number. We were actually hoping that we would take more than double that offshore, but the results are what the results are, and to meet the criteria of the site, it's about 5,000 yards. One of the things that I've heard, and I've been a variety, I also want to put this in context. I can't remember where I read it, but the article alluded to that it was a dirty site, industrial, dirty, large. I'm trying to think of some of the other buzzwords I saw in there. And I want to just take a minute and again put this in context. I want to talk about size first. I'm looking for this term. This is the Alpha website of the Rockland Disposal Project here. I don't know if anybody can see that. But this is a graph, really, of the activity over various years that has gone to the Rockland Disposal site. And the quantity we're talking about is this little pink dot down here. Okay, we're talking 5,000, at the most 7,500 yards that we're talking about taking to the site. And you know, you can see the site at various times has taken up to 600,000 yards in a year. So the concept of large is really not appropriate. It's a small job in the scheme of things. The industrial connotation has people thinking about waste and industrial pollution and all those kinds of things. And contrary to a lot of people think. The sedimentation type in our harbors is far more cohesive to pollutants than the Penobscot River. Most of you know old streams have gravel bottoms, new streams have mud bottoms, right? Harbors have mud bottoms. The crud is in the sediment. It's in the fines. It's not in the gravels. It's not in the sands. And in fact, there's a protocol in the Army Corps' discussion of what testing you do. Basically, if it's all sands and gravels, you're out of the testing business. Is that right, Sean? Words to that effect. I mean, it has no cohesion to the pollutants. Once you get into sedimentation, the fines, that's where the crud is. So, again, the Penobscot has been flushing itself for years and years and years and years. And this outboard dredging, I'll just give you a sense of where this is coming from. If you were to take a bottom contour right in there somewhere, that's really the piece we're talking about taking offshore, right out in there. The inshore stuff has some fines in it. That's what's going up there. So it's gravelly, it's sandy, it's getting flushed, and it's cleaner than most of the harbors in the state of Maine. Where's Rip? Rip. We tested for 90 different compounds in the borings that we've taken so far. Out of the 90 compounds we tested for, we had 23 detections. And of those 23, those are the borings that we sent to the Corps, the ones with the detections. And that's what they analyzed, modeled, compared to the sediment, grain size, dispersion models, the whole nine yards. And it's that basis on which they told us where to draw the line as to what would go offshore and what would go upland. And those results, for people that are interested, I'm no chemist and I won't be answering questions on this. Those boring results are right here and what's in those borings. And if you have questions, Rip would do it justice. I would not. The last item that I want to talk about until we have questions is the tow route. We described in our permit coming down the eastern side of Islesboro, there is on the NOAA charts, there is a ship channel on each side, an established ship channel on each side. But what I've learned since then is most of the Mack Point traffic goes down the western side of Islesboro, not the east side. And so I'm here to tell you, we'll do whatever we're supposed to do. We're not hung on one side or the other. So right now our permit says on the east side, I think. And we can modify that for the western freeze. Am I correct? Who knows the traffic going to Mack Point? I think it goes down the east side, excuse me, the west side of Islesboro. Is that correct? Okay. So it seems logical that we follow that. Our barge sizes, the dredge scow, the largest dredge scow we'd use up in the river is about 45 by 150, 160. And the vessels going into Mack Point, as most of you know, are 600 by 100. So obviously we're not putting anything up the bay that's any larger than what's going up three or four times a week right now. I think that's about it.